rte.ie/drama-on-1.
And now, In the Wings, a programme where artists talk about their work and their journey towards performance. In a fortnight's time, RTE Drama on One will present Joe Johnny Joe, a major 9-episode serial, Os Gaeilge, written and directed by Dearc Machanomara. It was commissioned by Radio na Gaeltachta and funded by Comisiún na Meán, with a television licence fee. If your Irish is a little rusty, there's no need to worry. Joe Johnny Joe will be available to enjoy subtitled, both in English agus Os Gaeilge, on the Drama on One website, where you can also experience the immersive audio soundscape, whether you're a Gaeilgeoir, a Brach Gaeilgeoir, or a Bearlore. Now, writer and director Dearc Machanomara and sound engineer Liam King talk about working on Joe Johnny Joe, the Dearc Machanomara.
My name is Dearc Machanomara.
My name is Liam King. Liam Machanomara.
The piece is a drama series called Joe Johnny Joe. It's a 9 by roughly half hours of radio drama, and radio drama is brilliant.
So on Joe Johnny Joe, I engineered it. Dearc asked me to come in, and we recorded all the dialogue first, and then we recorded all the band, all the music elements, and then pieced it all together. Myself and Dearc spent a good few weeks together doing the post and all the sound effects and Foley, and yeah, it's great.
I was commissioned by Radio na Gaeltachta to come up with an idea, a concept for a radio drama series, and I was trying to come up with something that might appeal to the masses, and it occurred to me that music is a great way to connect emotionally with an audience, and then I was noticing how popular country music was. So that was the jumping off point, trying to come up with a series about maybe country music, and that got me into this character, Johnny, who thinks he's a better musician than he actually is.
So with the actors, we there's a big live room in Cúin, amazing sounding room. It was tricky because it's quite a live room. You know, there might have been 8 to 10 actors, and we just baffled them off, you know, with acoustic panels around them. And so they could all have eye line and they could see each other. Yeah, I think it's really, really important to have all the actors together, because it's, you know, just the energy of being in the same room and being in the same room with Dearc. He was in the room with them, and being able to just direct and call things in the room, and just having the eye line, you know, being able to see one another, was very important. It was challenging in terms of, you know, having them all in the one space, doing all the dialogue in such a live room, but I think it translates pretty well, you know.
I was commissioned for 10, but the story wouldn't stretch to 10. I figured out when I'm structuring a story on the wall, that's how I kind of work. I just figured it all out on the wall first with post-its and kind of figuring out the structure of the story. And it was apparent then at that stage that the story itself wouldn't stretch to 10. It'd be like putting too little butter over too much bread. Then I decided I asked the powers that be, would they accept a 10th episode, the makings of, in lieu of an actual drama episode itself. So for the sake of the story, less is more sometimes.
In terms of the microphones, we use mainly Shep's microphones and some Neumann mics as well. So usually for all the dialogue, we had Shep's. The capsule we were using was a 41, which is really narrow pattern on it. So in that room, you were getting rid of a lot of any reflections and stuff, and it was just very focused on the voice. And then for if someone was singing on it, we had a Shep's along with the U87 Neumann, and that going into usually the Neve console.
Most of my work has happened to be in the Irish language, but not consciously. It just goes to show the massive amount of opportunity there is if you have the gift of Irish, because I can write in English and I can write in Irish, so I have double the amount of potential of being commissioned. So it's a great advantage, and I always say it to young writers and new writers and people who are working in the arts generally, that to see the practical benefits of actually having two languages is brilliant.
I was always kind of into it, just always into, even just when I was learning tunes at the house, just kind of recording myself playing the tune, playing it back and trying to, you know, I was always into it from that point of view. And I was always into doing a bit of live sound as well. So I kind of got into the studio world from that.
Stories about conflict. So basically the job of a writer is to make life hell for the main character. So once I kind of get a concept of who the character is, I have to figure out then transformation is the key. So if you can imagine the character at the start of the story and at the end of the story, they shouldn't resemble each other at all in terms of the transformation should have occurred. So you kind of reverse engineering. So you're kind of saying, okay, well, if this is the character at the start, what's the furthest point I could bring that character to? And how could, in that process, could I make his life as much hell as possible? So by basically injecting as much conflict and adversity in his way so that he has to get over all of that to try and get what he wants and make sure he doesn't get what he wants. But he might get something that he may need subconsciously but didn't realise at the start. So it's basically being a psychopath is your job as a writer to make your character's life hell.
I'm from Inishbofin. I got into it from playing music, I suppose, really, from being in recording studios and that. And I play traditional music, traditional and folk. The accordion is my main instrument, and I play a bit of banjo and guitar as well.
I loved stories from beginning. I remember as a young fella writing a story about the Belfast Man when I was about 7 years old or something on my dad's typewriter, and it was all about a man from Belfast who came to Dublin and threw a rock through a window in the city centre and then went home. And that was my perception of people from Belfast, because obviously when I was growing up, no more than yourself, the Troubles was there, and that was the news we were getting every day that, you know, that's what happened in Belfast. But as a 6 or 7 year old, that was my concept. So I really enjoyed story from beginning. Everybody understands story subconsciously because we consume stories from the day we're born. What I found very helpful working through theatre for years in Galway as a young theatre maker, I really didn't understand the concepts of story consciously. I understood it subconsciously. I went to London for a few days and attended a seminar by Robert McKee. And what he unlocked in my head was he gave me the confidence and the knowledge base to trust what I knew instinctively as being the correct way of doing it. Because what will kill any creative endeavour is insecurity, because you really have to be tenacious with it and to believe in yourself when 90% of the time you're banging your head off a wall going, this will never work. So I think those who succeed in being creative are those who can live with that uncomfortable reality of having just to plough on through the 90% of this will never work. And then it does work if you just keep at it long enough. But having done those few days, what that gave me was the confidence to and the technical understanding that actually the building blocks of story, which is essentially conflict. There's four notes of conflict: inner conflict, interpersonal conflict, societal conflict, and conflict with the physical world. So those are the four notes. There's 12 notes in music that every musical work has been created from. In theatre and in story world, there's four notes of conflict. And then it's how do you mesh and meld and push and pull those four notes against each other by making the character's life hell. And that's how you create effective story.
Myself and Darragh kind of met, I suppose, when they were doing up the studio in Cooin. And we've done a lot of projects before Joe Johnny Joe. Mainly music stuff, so it's nice to jump into the radio drama world.
I think drama and music, do you know what I mean? There's different styles of music. People like jazz, people like blues, but the same notes are in it. So it's how you might lean towards certain notes instead of other notes. So that would be my take on that, in terms of some people are drawn to minimalist work, or some people are drawn to three classical design kind of structure. So it's really wherever your own taste is. But essentially, if the character doesn't want anything, there will be no story. If there is no transformation occurring from the start to the end of the story, if there's no empathy between the listener and the main character, you will not have any interest. You create interest by withholding information, not by giving it all away at the start. So there's just the basic blocks of, like, if you mix red and green, you get a certain colour in paint. The same thing happens with story if you mix X and Y. Do you know what I mean? So you could look at it rules, or you could look at it just the way it works. So it's your choice how much red or how much blue or how much green. But the basic concepts are the same. But you need to know them.
Yeah, well, the editing process was, it's very slow because everything is tailor-made for, you know, each scene and each, you know, each room in the episode and outside and inside and in the car. And if something's been played through the radio in the car, you know, and the music that goes into that, even, you know, down to the music that's on the radio in the car. So there's a lot of detail, and it takes time. But it was... yeah, it was a lot of crack to do. We were a couple of months between everything, I'd say, you know. It was kind of on and off, you know what I mean, with the recording side of it was actually quite quick. You know, we had the actors for a certain amount of time, and then we had, the band for a certain amount of time. But for the actual sound effects and putting it together, Yeah, we were long time.
Went to school in Clochdone up the road. Went to college in Galway, thankfully, as a 17, and had no idea I was just going to be a teacher, and just randomly bumped into the Cumann Dromaíochta. As it happened, Gareth McDonough, who's now in Radio na Gaeltachta, was in the Cumann Dromaíochta, and he asked me to be part of a play. And then 2 weeks into rehearsals, he got sick, and then I took over as director. Randomly, so it's that random, and that kind of opened that whole door for me into the theatre world. 2 years later, I was running in Thaibhairc Theatre in Galway, and yeah, I haven't looked back since, you know. So my education took a nosedive, my formal education, it stopped as my kind of education in theatre and story kind of took off. So yeah,
again, I was in and out of studios, but then I did a course up in the Sound Training Centre in Temple Bar, actually in Dublin. Couple of years there, and then went to Galway and I set up a studio called the Blackgate Studio, and we had it running for about 5 years, and we're currently building a new studio there in Galway City.
Galway's an amazing place to be creative. I lived over a pub, played music. It was a fabulous melting pot, again in the days before phones, where one had true freedom to go mental and to go wild, and which we did, and we had great fun and we learned a lot, an awful lot. And then there was just a group of people in college in Rinne Gaeilge, just as it happened in Cumann Dromaíochta in that time. As it happens, an awful lot of people going through college, you meet a lot of kindred spirits, and we had great fun. Writing plays, touring plays, bringing plays out to Éilean Hurry, for example, bringing it down to Corcoraine, going to all the Gaeltachts, the western extremities of the country, for weekends, for longer than that, on buses, making friends, romances, the whole lot. But all in the structured environment of making theatre. And it's just great fun, no pressure. Just enough in terms of competition, in terms of the Cóilíochas Náisiúnta Drámaíochta at the time, where there was enough of an incentive to actually to arrive on time. But, you know, it was just great fun. Great fun, safe space.
Playing music with the Inis Baffin Céilí Band in Days or Murray's in Baffin. I would have been probably 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, playing the box. There was always a great, great scene when I was growing up in Baffin for music. And there was always, you know, I think I did my first paid gig in Days Pub with Desmond O'Halloran and Michael Joe O'Halloran when I was 11. So that was probably my earliest memory of doing a gig at it.
So following my few years in Antaivyark, I was invited to start working with a producer called Paddy Hayes. And that was a great scheme run by T.G. Cahir and Udaras na Gaeltachta, which basically realised that a lot of the small TV companies at the time were one-man bands and basically were going from project to project, but it was like Sisyphus. There was nobody in the company and the company wouldn't be able to maybe have the capacity to employ a development person to be actually working on a slate. So they identified this need and they funded jobs that paid at the time a decent wage in comparative to what I was getting in theatre. So I came into the TV world and I had 2 years there and a desk and a wage to write. So that was the first time I started writing, I suppose, full-time professionally. And that is the key thing. You know, I'll say that to any government agency or any arts council, if they want to support the arts, the way you do that is you give people employment and you give them time to be artists. And the basic income for artists is a very welcome first step. But this notion that if you're not seen to be productive, like the creative process takes time. And in order for that to flourish, you need to be given that time and security of tenure to be able to be creative, because you will not be creative if you're stressed about how you're going to pay the rent. And that's for sure. So I was blessed to get those 2 years where I was paid a wage and given time to write. And as a result of that, we got two series of a noir drama series, Ascaige, with Maria Doyle Kennedy and Tiamat Na Faoite and a host of actors from across the country. Corpus Annum was an 8-part drama series about a crime correspondent who's digging for the truth, I suppose, but the question was at what price in terms of for his own family and, you know, what was really driving him. So, and then how the stories he was pursuing, which were all based on actual real stories that had happened in Ireland over the last 20 years. Let's say stuff from Abbey Lara to Joyriders or to Corrupt Gardaí or whatever it was, paedophilia online and child grooming and all that, which and how those stories then came in, of course, and kind of came into Cathal's own personal life as well. So it was kind of a family story, but and then it had a gritty kind of crime drama aspect to it.
And there we heard the voices of writer and director Darragh McNamara and sound engineer Liam King talking about working on Darragh's series Joe Johnny Joe, a major 9-episode serial as Gaeilge, commissioned by Radio na Gaeltachta and funded by Comisiún na Mban with the television licence fee. If your Gaeilge is a bit rusty, don't worry, all episodes will be available and subtitled both as Gaeilge agus Imerle. And if you or anyone you know is affected by the issues raised in this edition of In the Wings, you can find help and support at rte.ie/helplines. The series producer of Drama on One is Kevin Reynolds.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on One.
Drama on One.